All right. Well, let's get started then. And we will start in Luke chapter 18. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word. We're going to examine today Jesus' teaching on the Lord's Prayer. But I want to begin by this parable that he told about prayer. I want to talk this morning about the character and the content of prayer. Here we go. Luke 18, starting verse 9. This is Jesus telling a parable. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray. Lord, this morning as we hear from you and we look at prayer and coming to you, God, I pray that you would burden our hearts, Lord, just to draw near to you. Lord, that you would place upon each of our hearts a burden to seek your face, God. That we would come to you and look to you for all that we need. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear today. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to quote lyrics of a song that goes back some years. Some of those who've lived a little longer, you may have heard of this guy and this song. But in 1974, there was a song that came out by Mac Davis. And in the chorus, the lyrics, it said this, oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror. I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I guess I'm a heck of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. Now, that's really not a humble song, is it? When we think about what the character of prayer, our character, when we come to pray, Jesus tells us this parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector. Now, the Pharisee, he was the religious guy in the story. He was the one that should have known how to pray. He is the one that was seen as a man of God who could pray and touch heaven. But Jesus says, that guy doesn't walk away justified. It's the tax collector. Now, the tax collector was seen as someone they despised. Jewish people saw tax collectors as people that turned on them because they started working for Rome, and they're getting taxes from their own people and usually overcharging them. And so the tax collector in the story, he's not the good guy. It would be the Pharisee. It'd be the one that he should be expected how. But notice what he did. He stood all by himself, and he prayed to himself, and he was lifting himself up, wasn't he? Lord, I am so thankful that I'm not like all of these other type of people. Now, that's not a good way to start off your prayer. You know, you don't come to God and brag about how great you are, right? Lord, I'm so thankful that I'm so good. I do everything right. I'm not like all the people that do things wrong, you know. I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't, you know, and you're so proud of everything you don't do, and you're letting God know how wonderful you are about what you don't do. And then also he starts bragging about the things he does do, right? You know, I pray, I fast, and I give my tithes, and I do this, and he's lifting himself up, and he's not praying with any humility whatsoever. But yet this tax collector, he's not even able to lift up his head to heaven. And he beats on his chest. And he says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that's the prayer that God heard. When you go to God, you have to go with a spirit of humility. Because if we come to him with our righteousness, you know what the Bible says about our righteousness? That our, this is like filthy rags in the sight of God. There is nothing we can bring to impress God. And he's praying with all this arrogance and this conceit, and it's all about him. And so when we go to God in prayer, we have to have a humble spirit. We have to go to God and say, Lord, I'm so thankful for your grace. Your mercy is overwhelming. I'm a sinner, and I need you each and every day. I couldn't make it without you. And we come with a broken heart, a humble spirit. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus begins to do teaching about our character when we do righteous things, when we do things pleasing. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 1, he warns, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order, what? To be seen by them. If you have your Bible out, I would underline that because this is a warning. He says, be careful about practicing your righteousness. Now, we should do righteousness, but be careful about doing righteousness and practicing your righteousness so that you can be seen by people. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may, what? Be praised by others. So they're doing their righteousness to be seen and to be praised. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. What is the reward they get? Oh, good job. I see you. I notice you. You must be important. You must be a man of prayer. He says, be careful about doing things for God in order so that you get the attention and that everybody looks to you and everybody praises you and gives you applause and say how wonderful you are. Because if you're seeking that, then that's all you get. And that's very shallow, isn't it? And so he gives us the alternative. This is how we should act. We should do things differently. Now, notice what he says there in verse 3. But when you, now he's speaking to those who are believers, but when you, so that's me. So, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will what? Reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners. Why? That they may be what? Seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. What's the motivation? Why are they praying? Why are they praying in the street corners? Why are they wanting to be noticed by other people so that they can be seen by others and praised by others? They can be seen by men and praised by men. He says, that's how you are not to pray. It's not a show. It's not so people can brag on how great you are. It is to be done in secret. Now, there is a time to pray publicly. There is a time to pray corporately and in groups and gatherings. He's not saying that you don't ever pray in public, but he's saying when you pray, you don't pray with the intention and the motivation of being noticed and praised, that the attention's on you. But there's a different way. There's a different character that we must have in our heart. He says, let's look. Verse 6. But when you pray, so he's talking to me. So he's talking to me. He's talking to you. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will what? Will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. When you pray, go into the inner room. Go into your closet. Go into the treasury room. Go into a place so that you can be still and seek me. We need to find a place to pray. Amen? Now, I'm going to challenge you as I'm going to challenge myself. Find a place to pray. Now, we're going to learn that we got to be praying at all times. But there's got to be a time when we get alone in the secret place with God and we just pray. It might be in your car. Maybe you go to work early and you stay in your car, and your car is your prayer room. Maybe it is a closet in your room or a space in your room. Maybe it's somewhere, I don't know, but find a place where it's quiet and turn off the phone. Amen. You can't pray getting ding, 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 and hearing all these messages pop up on your phone while you're praying. Get alone where you're not distracted, where you can have a time to pray to God. The psalmist said, seek my face is what God said. And my heart says to you, your face will I seek. We have to get in ourselves and position ourselves where we seek the face of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, if every one of you have had kids, you'll understand this. And when Caleb and Micah, they were little, there's a certain stage where kids, when you're talking to them, and if you're not looking at them, that's not good enough. And they'll be talking to you, and they'll grab your face, and they'll turn it and be like, look at me. They want to see your face. They want to know that their daddy is looking and paying attention, right? How many of y'all had that experience as your kids, they grab your chin and they turn it and they want you to look at them? God says, seek my face. Our heart should say, your face will I seek. What does it mean to seek the face of God? It means to cry out to God and to seek his face so that we can hear from him, know him, that he is a God who desires to hear from his children. How many of y'all believe that God wants to hear from his children? And he says, seek my face. Our heart should say, your face I will seek. I want to position myself to where I could hear from heaven, where I can allow God to speak to me. And we've been reading through the New Testament. We know one clear way that God speaks to us is through his word. And the more that I hear from him, the more I get to know him, right? If you want relationships to grow, it takes at least two things: spending time with one another and talking with one another, right? If you stop talking, that relationship will die. If you want your relationship with God to grow, if you want to grow in your relationship with God, you have to spend time hearing from him, hearing from his word, and talking to him, expressing your heart, and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you as he impresses things on your heart. We have to get alone with God, seek his face with a humble heart. Now, in Luke chapter 18, when he told that prayer about the Pharisee and the tax collector, he also told a parable before that about this persistent widow. And the parable is talking about this widow who had been done wrong, and she's seeking justice from an unjust judge who does not honor God or love God. But yet in the parable, this lady keeps coming to him time and time again, knocking on the door, knocking on the door, knocking on the door. When are you going to give me justice? When are you going to give me justice? When are you going to give me justice? And Jesus says that this unjust judge, the one who does not fear God, even though he doesn't love God, because of the persistence of this lady, he will get up and give her justice. Okay. Now he's teaching this so that when we pray, we don't lose heart. And he says there in verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, that's his children, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find a people who are persistently calling out to him in prayer? When Jesus comes, will he find a church on their knees, praying out, seeking his face, turning his cheek, saying, God, I need you. I want to hear from you. I want you to listen. I'm here. I'm in your presence. Lord, I want you. I don't care if anybody else sees me. It's not to be seen. It's not for a show. I just want to get alone in a quiet place, and I want to pour out my heart to you, and I want to hear from heaven. I want to hear from you, God. Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for him bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, think about that. He says, if we, being an earthly father, you being an earthly mother, know how to give good gifts to your children, and we're not the righteous, holy one like God is, how much more will God give to his children? Now, there's nothing greater in my life than being a husband and being a father. Those two things bring me the greatest joy. To be able to love my wife like Christ loved the church, to love her, and to be a dad. I love being a dad. I've loved every stage of my kids' lives, and I've tried to be there and enjoy the moment. And enjoy the moment because it goes by quick. You know, Caleb will be graduating this year, so it goes by fast. Got to enjoy the moment. But as a parent, do you like to give good gifts to your kids? Yes or no? Yeah. We want to provide for their needs. And as a parent, we will provide for their needs. Sometimes we'll even give them things that they really don't need. Anybody ever give your kids things they don't really need? Anybody? Now, some people have a difficult time praying to God as Father. Because maybe they didn't have a great experience growing up with their father. Maybe their father was always overbearing, was never good enough, maybe verbally abusive or even physically abusive. And it's hard to go and approach your father if you think he's just ready to pounce on you, right? Now, God is not in heaven just ready, just waiting for us to mess up so he can say, ha, see, gotcha. It's not God. He's a loving father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. Things that won't hurt us, things that won't cause us to go astray. He's also not a pushover either. He's not to be used, and you can't manipulate him, right? There are some who grew up maybe treating their dad as just a cash machine or a need machine, and And if your kid only came to you when they wanted something, and that was the only time they came to you, is, hey, Dad, I need some money. I need this. I need that. I need. And that was the only time they ever came to you. How long would it take as a parent to be like, whoa, wait a minute. No. Right, we're going to talk about that later on in the series about sometimes we ask with the wrong motive, so we don't get what we're asking for because it's out of a wrong heart. We don't go to God just to constantly get. Why? Because it said there that he already knows what we need before we even ask. And so why do we pray? I want to read a quote from A.W. Pink. And he was a pastor, a theologian, author. And he hits on an explanation of that verse of, therefore do not be like them and say all these type of words, because your Father knows what you need before you ask them. Here's what he says about that. He says, here Christ presents an inducement to praying so's the very reason which infidels use as an argument against prayer. If God be omniscient, meaning if God knows everything, what need is there for us to inform him of our requirements? We do not present our request to God in order to acquaint him with our wants, but to render obedience unto his commandment, which requires this duty from us. We pray unto God for the purpose of honoring him, acknowledging him to be the knower of our hearts and the giver of all mercies. The knower of our hearts and the giver of all mercies. He goes on and says, moreover, prayer is a means for us rightly to receive and improve the gifts of heaven, being an indispensable preparation of our souls thereto. It should be understood that this knowledge of our fathers is far more than a bare cognition of our wants. It is such a solicitation for our welfare that ensures the supply of everything that we need. So he says, when you pray, go into the inner room in secret. What's the inner room? The inner room is the inner room of the home, is where you would put all of your prized possessions. It was the treasury room. The inner room is where all of the goods are. It's the treasury room. When you go to prayer, what is prayer? Prayer is when you go into the treasury room and it's full of all of God's things that he has. It's full of mercy. It's full of love. It's full of kindness. It's full of everything that you need. Everything you need is in the treasury room. We are one of the most depressed generations that has ever been, and we're trying multiple ways to try to fill voids. I'm telling you, the answer is in the treasury room. It's in the prayer room. It's in the treasury room of God's blessings that overflow, of his mercy and his kindness. So when I need grace to forgive, where do I go? I go to the treasury room. When I need faith to believe, where do I go? I go to the... When I need strength to persevere, I go to the... When I need courage to stand, I go to the... When I need wisdom to understand, I go to the treasury room. In life, when I'm feeling like there is nothing working out right and it seems like all doors are closing, where do I go? I go into the treasury room and I seek God's face and I say, God, I need an answer. I don't know what's going on. I've got decisions to make. There's three or four things that's coming before me. I don't know which way to go. I don't know which door to go through, but I know that you plan the steps of a righteous man, so I'm going to you, because in your treasury room is where your guidance is. Your Holy Spirit will speak and move and lead and pray. address and direct what I need to do. It's in the treasury room that I go to get special grace for times of need. When I'm going through struggles and I'm going through a trial and the waves seem like they're coming over me, where do I go to? I go to the treasury room and I say, Lord, it's coming over me and I'm about to faint, but I know you give strength to the weary. And I go there and he gives me the peace that passes all understanding. He gives me the strength to go through it. When I'm struggling to love somebody like I need to love them, where do I go? I go to the treasury room. Lord, I'm struggling. I know I need to show love to this individual, but I'm having a hard time. So I go to the treasury room where his love abounds and he can give it to me. And he gives me what I need. Amen? When I need to repent, where do I go? The treasury room, right? Lord, I acted like a fool the other day at work. Forgive me. Huh? Any of y'all need that kind of prayer? Come on now, don't act like you've never done it. We're gonna be real up in here. These 16 weeks in prayer, we go to the treasury. Lord, I acted a fool at work. I said things I shouldn't have said. Lord, forgive me. Be merciful to me. Help me to go back and apologize for how I acted. Lord, may I show grace. Lord, today is gonna be a hectic day. Today I'm gonna be dealing with some difficult people. Lord, I need your patience. Where do I go get patience? I go to his storeroom, his treasury room. I go to the inner room. Prayer is a place where we get to commune with God, and God communes with us, and he gives us everything that we need. It is our supply room. It is our help. It is where we get the presence of God to manifest, to be evident there in our life. And so he tells us to pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What does it mean? What does hallowed mean? It means holy. Holy. Lord, we come in, holy is your name. You see, the character of our prayer is that we got to be humble. And we got to come to seek his face. And the character of prayer on God's side is that he is our Father who is holy, and he is a good Father who loves to hear from his children. And so the Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. When you go into the treasury room and you seek the presence of God and you draw near to him with a sincere heart, he draws near to you. And he gives us the content of prayer here. And notice how he begins. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. If you begin with adoration in your prayer, that will begin the work of God's presence to start coming down. Now, why? What is the Holy Spirit's job? One of the main things the Holy Spirit does is to lift high the name of Jesus. He wants to point people to Christ, therefore he convicts of sin. And he wants Jesus to be lifted up. And so when you go into your inner room, when you go into your treasury room this week, and you begin to lift high the name of Jesus, Lord, I want to thank you that you are the creator of all things. It is through you and you alone that everything holds in existence. Jesus, thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. I magnify your name today. I lift high your name. Thank you for your salvation. I wasn't worthy, but you saved me. Lord, you are the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And you begin a prayer with adoration. The Holy Spirit comes and says, amen, 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 amen. And you're drawn into the presence of God. You seek his face. Your heart is saying, your face, Lord, I will seek. You begin with adoration. And he is a loving father. He loves you. He wants to hear from his kids. You don't have to fear him. You don't have to wonder, I wonder what God's going to do. Is he going to strike me down? No, he wants to hear from his children. He is a loving father. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's that? That's submission. Lord, I don't want my way. I want your way. Lord, I don't want my kingdom to come. I want your kingdom to come. Lord, I know that I can make decisions each and every day. But I know that man plans his steps, but you ordain them. And so, God, I don't want to misstep. I want to walk in your will. I want my life to conform to you, Lord. I want to submit my plans to you because I know your plans are higher than my plans and your thoughts are greater than my thoughts. And so I don't want to just be satisfied with my kingdom. Because my kingdom doesn't last, but yours is forever, God. So, Lord, help me to submit to your kingdom. Let your kingdom rule and reign in my heart and my life. Let me seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let us pray for God's will to be done upon the earth, that those who are in Ukraine right now, that we are praying for them. We've got brothers and sisters in Christ that vary in all of our ages that are in here today and even in our children's church that are losing their lives over war. Thank you, Living Water, for giving. People in the community, for giving. Natalia, from you are from Kuwait. Ukraine. And Nick from Poland, on the border. You got family there. These past week and a half, we've sent over $10,000 of medical supplies to people that they know because of your all's giving and the community support. Thank you. We're to be the hands and feet of Jesus. People are healing. Lord, let your kingdom come. We have received over $15,000, I don't know the exact amount yet, but well over $15,000 for aid to Ukraine. Lord, let your kingdom come. God, I don't know what you're doing over there with all this war and all the killing, but Lord, I know that you're saving souls, you're redeeming, and those people are seeking your face. And Lord, may we seek your face on their behalf, and may we pray. And then after we pray and submit to his kingdom, then give us this day our daily bread. That's supplication. Now we make requests for our own needs. Just, Lord, give me what I need today. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries on its own. Just worry about today. So, Lord, give me my daily bread today. Give me what I need today. What did he tell the Israelites when they were? He gave them the manna. He gave them the manna. Each day he gave them manna. And he said what? Don't store it up. Don't store up the manna. You only store up the manna on the day before the Sabbath so that you don't work on the Sabbath. Don't store it up. I will give you manna every single day. I'll give you your daily bread. What did they do? They stored it up. They stored it up, and the next day, what did they find? They found maggots all in their food. Why? Because they didn't trust God for their daily provision. That's what not trusting God looks like. And so Jesus says, when you pray, just pray for your daily needs. Trust that I will provide for you. You don't have to worry. I will take care of you. I am your Father. Just trust me. Just ask for my daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Some of your versions say, forgive us our sins or our trespasses and those who have trespassed against us. What's that confession? Lord, forgive me of my sin. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, forgive me if when I have not done things your way. Forgive me when I have not trusted you. Forgive me when I have misspoken. Forgive me when I have went opposite of what you said. Lord, forgive me of my sins. There's a confession of personal sin. And then, God, let me forgive those who have sinned against me. Lord, if someone's wronged me today, if someone says something about me today, let that not bother me. May I just forgive them. Why? Because you've forgiven me. In the same way that you have forgiven me, I'm to forgive others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from what? Evil. The reality is this. There is a spiritual battle that rages all around us. If we could peer into the spiritual world, we would see heavenly hosts of angels and demonic activity. I know that sounds sci-fi in our culture, but that's a reality. That's why the Bible says to put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand. And instead of being in the treasury room where all of God's weapons of warfare are there and all of his graces are there, instead of spending time with him in the treasury room, we're doing this all the time. You know, your phone will tell you how many hours you have spent on screen time. And I guarantee we all spend more hours looking at our phone than in the face of our Father. And then we wonder what's going on. There is a spiritual battle going on, and I wonder if we're asleep or preoccupied with things other than getting in the inner room. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You end it with the acknowledgement that his kingdom reigns forever. Amen. You, Lord, are sovereign. You, Lord, are almighty. We are coming into the treasury room full of all God's abundant blessings, and everything we need is right there on his shelf. We seek his face, and he hears from heaven, and he answers his children. In the storm, he's your shelter. In the chaos, he is your peace. Go to the Lord. Go to the treasury room. Seek his face. Amen. Let's pray. Lord,